BRICS is an organization involving Brazil, India, Russia, China, and South Africa, which were its initial members. And we now have the addition of Iran, Egypt, Ethiopia, and the United Arab Emirates to it. And the idea is actually to have an alternative forum outside of the hegemonic powers, which are usually centered around the European Union and the United States, where other regional powers can also have a voice, and particularly the voices from the global south. Which is why a lot of the members are from developing countries like Brazil, India, South Africa, Egypt, Iran, UAE, and Ethiopia.
And the latest professor is Nigeria officially became a part of the international economic and political bloc, BRICS, last Friday.
This is true. As you could imagine, now with three of the largest economies on the continent, that's Egypt, Nigeria, and South Africa, being in the BRICS, and of course, Ethiopia being the chair centership of the African Union, I think this is a very powerful voice. But I must also add that as much as the BRICS is expanding from its initial five members to now nine members, it comes with its own challenges. Because the more voices you have, the harder it is to develop consensus. I think that's one challenge for BRICS. The other challenge is each of these nine countries also has its own unique geostrategic and economic interests. So Egypt's interests might not always align with those of Ethiopia. For example, like we saw with the Grand Renaissance dam project, South Africa might not always agree with Brazil, Iran might not always agree with Russia, and so on and so forth. So there is a space for major powers to divide this alliance. I think the third challenge for the BRICS going forward is each of these countries is also very closely tied to Western economic and hegemonic powers in very important ways, that they do not want to abandon their ties with the U.S. and the EU.
And, Professor, the BRICS countries have sought to reduce the primacy of the U.S. dollar in international trade. Can a BRICS currency replace the dollar?
Not in the short term, maybe in the long term. I think for two main reasons. One is the dollar has been the international reserve currency now for over 70 years. Since the establishment of the Bretton Woods institutions, the post-World War II international order with the establishment of the World Bank and the IMF. So there's a historical memory and legacy of the dollar as a reserve currency. Countries will not quickly move to something new and untested.
And Professor, this is a quote from Donald Trump. We require a commitment from these countries that they will neither create a new BRICS currency nor back any other currency to replace the U.S. dollar, or they will face 100% tariffs and should expect to say goodbye to selling into the wonderful U.S. economy. That's what Trump wrote on his social media platform, Truth Social.
So I think his bullying sort of rhetoric will actually bring these countries together, because no country likes to be shamed in the international society of state. And I must also add that as much as Donald Trump is threatening to attack and punish other countries, these other countries can also attack and punish the U.S. So, you know, if U.S. throws a punch, Uncle Sam can throw a punch, but the other countries can also hit back. And I'm thinking, for example, about counter tariff from China on U.S. goods and services. The U.S. needs to be careful about overextending its hegemony and its ability to enforce its will around the world, right? There are limits to the expansion of American power. Yes, the U.S. is the most powerful country in the world, but in the global multipolar system, it's really important to build alliances and consensus within multilateral frameworks.